So several years ago, I was working a street fair in my former parish, and there we were. We had our table set up on Main Street for a Main Street stroll. And there's one particular conversation that just is so vivid in my mind from one of those strolls. And it was the dogs on Main Stroll, and so there were dogs everywhere. There was no cats on Main, which I thought was just discriminatory, but that's another story. So there's this family that comes up, parents with a small boy, maybe about 5 years old, and he was in a Little League uniform. And so, of course, I say, "What do you like about Little League?" Kid you not, the answers were the snacks and picking flowers in the outfield. I'm pretty sure he's not getting drafted to any major league sports team anytime soon. But as we kept talking about, we talked about school and about baseball, and this dog was like having none of this and only really was paying attention as we were feeding the dog treats. And so ultimately the parents were like, "All right, it's time to go." And because they could see the firehouse next door, they had hot dogs. Which I thought was a little off color for, you know, dogs on Main, but and they also were giving out those plastic firefighter hats, so clearly we had nothing to, you know, compete with that. So before they left, I said to the little boy, "Would you like a treat?" And the kid's like, yeah. And so I reach over and I give him a package of animal crackers. Now, by the look in this kid's face, you would have thought that I just gave him $1 million. I mean, this kid takes his packages like... Like he's never seen animal crackers before in his life. The parents are laughing at all of this. And then he just starts to walk away, just totally immersed in staring at this package of animal crackers. And then his parents say, "Well, aren't you going to say thank you?" Now, imagine I was standing like here, and this kid's got his animal crackers. And so he starts walking away, and he turns and he goes, "Thank you." But doesn't look at me. It's clearly only doing it because the parents have said, "Say thank you." I gotta admit, I thoroughly enjoy when adult figures, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever, have to say to kids, like, "Now say thank you." Because the kids clearly want nothing to do with that. It hasn't registered to them. I'm sure for the adults, they're mortified that the manners are not being expressed as they would hope, but I find it hysterical. And one of the things I love about it is particularly with small kids, they get so focused on whatever it is they've got that everything else fades away from them. They get so captured by whatever it is you've handed them, even something as simple as a package of animal crackers, that they lose sense of everything else around them. Now, there are many things that we lose and we grow out of as we move from childhood to adulthood. But there are moments when I think that... thin grasp of gratitude, I'll say, is one of those things we don't always grow out of. And that's one of those things that it's way cuter in kids than it is in adults. I mean, right? I'm sure I'm not the only one here who's held the door open for somebody and they just walk by without saying anything, and then, like, you passively aggressively mutter under your thing, "Well, you're welcome," as they walk through not acknowledging your existence, right? Sometimes even adults don't always have the firmest grasp on gratitude. Sometimes that's not always the most common trait we have. Gratitude is not just about polite manners. Gratitude is an important part of our faith. In fact, that is what we've gathered here to do this morning. And it's not just like gratitude that there's like cats and dogs and a chicken here, which I'm like so excited about. What we do every time we gather is an act of thanksgiving. That's what Eucharist means. Eucharist means thanksgiving. The Eucharistic prayer, it is the great thanksgiving. The most important thing we do is we gather for worship and we give praise and thanks to God for all the blessings of this life, for all that God has done for us, for the glories of creation. Thanksgiving is who we are. We are called to be people of gratitude. That's exactly what Jesus lifts up in today's gospel passage, in the story of the 10 lepers. So as the story goes, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, and he comes across this group of lepers. Now, lepers at this point in time are going to be people who are going to be isolated from society. They are in quarantine. They don't get to be at home with their family and friends. They don't get to mingle about society. They are in quarantine, and they have to be in a colony amongst themselves for fear of spreading that to other people. I don't know if any of that sounds familiar from how we've been living over the last couple of years, but, you know, maybe you can imagine what quarantine might look like. So they are desperate to be healed, desperate to get their lives back. And so they call out to Jesus. They see Jesus. They know who he is. They've heard about all the miracles and everything that he's done. And so they say, Jesus, help us. And he says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And so the 10 of them, they go off and they show themselves to the priests. And as they're journeying, as they're going, they are made clean. They are restored. They're given their lives back. Now, one of those 10 makes his way back to Jesus and thanks him. And he's so full of gratitude, so full of thanks that he prostrates himself. He lays face down on the ground in gratitude to what God has done for him. And then Jesus says, well, weren't 10 made clean? But only one's come back. Now, Luke has this note, and if you're looking at it visually, I think it's really striking, because I don't know about all of you, but when I was in like elementary school grammar classes, I said, you never start a sentence with and, but Luke does. So Luke clearly didn't get that elementary school grammar lesson. There's a sentence that says, and he was a Samaritan. That's not just a throwaway detail. In Luke's gospel, everything in Luke is all about that great reversal. People who were excluded, people who are on the margins, people who are outside. They're the stars of the stories. They're the ones who get it right. Like, right, like think about the incarnation story, right? It's the shepherds, the people on the margins who hear the good news of Jesus' birth first. So Luke is telling us, Jesus is telling us in this gospel, that it's this one who's been outcast, the foreigner, he's the one who gets it. He's the one who's living in a way that we're all called to live. Now, oftentimes in sermons and in commentaries and Bible studies, those other 9 kind of get trash talked on. It's like, well, those ungrateful lepers, they were healed and they were just felt entitled to their healing, right? We don't talk well of those 9 who don't come back. But I wonder if maybe we got to cut those 9 a little slack. Maybe they were like that little boy who had at that street festival and they just became so captivated by having their life restored that everything else faded away. Maybe it wasn't a lack of gratitude. Maybe they were just caught in awe and wonder. Maybe Jesus is reminding us that amidst the awe of our lives and the awe and amazing beauty of all that God does, we're not supposed to get swept up, but stay focused on that gratitude of giving thanks for all that God has done, even when everything else in the world fades away. Now, there are many people in the life of our faith who live this gratitude and praise, who have been utterly transformed by God's will in their lives and then go out and live in such a way. And you might be able to guess who I'm about to talk about, given, I mean, what I wrote about on Friday, but the fact that we've got a whole lot of animals in church, which is not a normal thing here. That's St. Francis. St. Francis of Assisi, who we remember this week, whose feast day is on October 4th, and we're remembering today as we welcome all God's creatures to church. And as an aside, I'm just saying, some of your pets are behaving better than some parishioners usually do, so I'm just throwing that out there, Prince. And so, St. Francis of Assisi, this is a story we all know well, right? So we know St. Francis as the patron saint of animals, like the Dr. Doolittle of the liturgical calendar. But a story is so much more than that. I mean, my favorite part of his story is when is what he does that starts his transformation. So he's praying in a church in his hometown. The church is falling apart. And he hears the voice of God say, Francis, repair my church. So Francis, the son of a wealthy business owner, goes to his father's warehouse, gets some stuff from his warehouse, and sells it, and then uses that money to fix the church. Yay for Francis. Francis' dad, not so happy with that. He was rather upset. And so they get into this fight in the middle of town. Here's my favorite part of the story. And so Francis then renounces his family. And he doesn't just say, I renounce you, and then walks away. He makes a show of it. And he throws his money purse at his father's feet. And then he strips off all his clothes and throws them away. And he walks away naked, forsaking everything. Don't worry, I'm not about to reenact that for you. Especially not on the live stream. Francis then leaves. He goes and he founds a monastery, living in poverty, connected with those in need. Francis actually helps care for lepers. He's willing to go to those lepers and care for them, people who others didn't want to go near. Francis tries to broker peace in the Middle East in the midst of battles and wars in the 12th and 13th century. By the way, it's the Christians who don't listen to Francis about the whole bringing peace thing and ending war, just saying. But one of Francis's greatest contributions, I think, to the life of faith is how he lived gratitude and how he offered thanks to God. everything in his life was about giving thanks to God and how he understood God in his life. But Francis had a particular connection with creation. And he writes this hymn, Brother Sun, Sister Moon. Maybe some of you know it. It's been turned into children's books and things like that. But the whole point of it is that creation praises God most when it is fully itself. So when the sun shines brightly in the sky and gives off warmth. When the stars twinkle in the sky. When dogs do whatever it is that they do. And cats look wonderful and fabulous and just are quite wonderful and then knock everything over the counter. When we are fully ourselves, we give greatest praise to God. We live fully into our creation. And that act of living fully into who God has created you to be, it's probably the greatest act of thanksgiving there is. Because that's how we honor God's creation, the gift that God has given each one of us in ourselves. So on this day, and every time we gather, we give thanks. Today we give thanks for the gift and beauty of creation. For all that God has done for us, all that God so lavishly bestows upon us. And so as we gather at this table to celebrate the great Thanksgiving, I hope you are able to come with hearts full, full of thanks for the blessings of this life, for all God has done and God continues to do in your life and in the life of our community. And even more so, I hope we can take that gratitude and go out into the world and be people of thanks and praise to all those whom we meet. Amen.